Welcome to the KRDO Table Talk Show with Teresa Farney, presented by Ranch Foods Direct. Teresa's got the scoop on all the finest chefs, new restaurants, and the best places to dine. And now, the most elegant and gracious host in radio, Teresa Farney.
Welcome to KRDO Table Talk on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM, presented by Ranch Foods Direct. I'm Teresa Farney, the food editor at the Gazette, and today you are going to be so excited to hear about all the things we're going to be talking about: French delights, tasty cheese, powerful foods, and wine experiences. And today we are going to be starting with those power foods, and I have Celia Brooks with me today. She's the author of Super Veg Cookbook. This is an amazing cookbook. And first of all, you thought you were going to make it a much bigger volume, which you were going to call...
Well, my original plan was to write a book called The Vegeta Bible, which this is actually my ninth cookbook. Okay. And so I have a kind of a 20-year career of writing cookbooks. And this is The Vegeta Bible was one I'd been planning for a long time as a sort of encyclopedic volume on vegetables. But I started with a new publisher, and they wanted me to do something a bit more marketable and condensed.
And so that then brought you down to doing what?
Well, I thought, gosh, I'm going to have to choose.
Between your children.
Exactly. A limited set of vegetables, which is my favorite ingredient. And I have a great passion for them all, but I had to decide. I decided on a nice round 25. And so I thought, which ones am I going to pick? I'm going to choose the ones that are the super veg. And my criteria for choosing them was, first of all, based on their nutrient density. But not only that, they not only had to be nutrient dense, but they had to be versatile and accessible and, of course, delicious.
So, of course, that's the main thing.
All the 25 super veg, for the most part, are common vegetables that you know and love. And you might be amazed to find out how extraordinarily beneficial they are to your health, but also how much joy they can bring you in the kitchen.
Well, you know, the thing that I thought was really interesting is that the most powerful of the kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, was astonishing to me. You want to tell us? everyone raised their hand at your book signing. Kale.
Yes.
But you'd be surprised.
Brussels sprouts. Well, actually, yes. And remember, the 25 super veg are equally super. They're not rated in order. Mm-hmm. They each have wonderful and powerful and joyful aspects. But in terms of nutrient density, the number one vegetable of them all is watercress. And watercress is actually a cruciferous vegetable. It's in the cabbage family. So like Brussels sprouts and kale, it has those extraordinary...
It has some of the same attributes.
Exactly. But it's just in the higher levels than any other.
And now that you grew up in Colorado, but you make your home in London at
That's
the moment.
Right.
And so what is your favorite way to use watercress from London?
Well, watercress actually is a prolific wild vegetable in Britain. It's a very wet country. It grows in water. You can actually forage it in the wild, but it's all over the supermarkets, and I hope you can get it here too, can't you?
Oh, definitely, yes.
Great, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of my favorite things is a very classic kind of English treatment of it, which is just to have some really nice bread with a thick coating of butter and then lots of butter, and especially if it's a good rustic French style loaf, and a nice wedge of pile up crunch together watercress and salt and pepper.
So whenever you say crunch together, do you mean you kind of break them?
Yeah, well, it makes it easier to eat. It makes it easier to eat in the sandwich if you chop it up a little bit.
I like that idea, because often when we've had tea or whatever, and they do bring you the classic, the quintessential watercress sandwich, it has all those stems.
Yes. Well, the stems. Don't throw away the stems, because the stems are delicious. You just need to make sure they're chopped up a little bit.
Okay.
And I must say, watercress is also phenomenal with blue cheese.
Oh, good idea. And we have a cheese guy here today.
Yeah.
Maybe he can confirm that one way or another. And we have a French representative that was nodding her head avidly at the butter idea. She has fabulous butter, by the way.
I know.
If you get a chance to go over there and see her at her store, it'd be great. So tell us a little bit more. Where can we get the book?
Well, it is available at good bookstores. If they do not have it, please go down to your favorite bookstore and ask if they can order it for you if it's not there already. It's also available on the internet.
Okay. And your website is Celia, C-E-L-I-A Brooks, B-R-O-O-K-S.com.
That's right.
And that has got a bunch of information. This is actually your ninth book.
Yes.
Right? And they're all vegetable-centric.
Well, yes, they're all vegetarian cookbooks because that's what I like to say it's my style. Just like, you know, someone might be great at cooking Vietnamese or Italian or natural foods or whatever. My style is vegetarian. I'm not a kind of proselytizing vegetarian. I just don't happen to include meat and fish in my recipes. So one of my books is all about gardening and growing vegetables. The rest are different themes on vegetarian cooking.
I'm not sure if we mentioned, but you are from Colorado and you went to Colorado College.
That's right.
And but then what was your inspiration to go to London?
Well, I kind of felt growing up that I didn't really belong here, that I just had a love of London. I'd visited it a few times growing up, and I just felt that's where I just wanted to be and live. And I actually went over there originally because I was a drama major. I went to work in the theater as a director right after college, and I soon realized that the theater business really wasn't for me. And at that point, my cooking skills were about, I could operate the microwave and open a packet. That was about the extent of it. But then I suddenly discovered cooking by accident, and I fell in love with my raw materials.
Why don't you just tell us real quickly how you discovered cooking, who you were working for?
Oh, well, I was doing lots of odd jobs, and I took one job as an artist model for an artist called Christiana Kubrick, who's the film director Stanley Kubrick's wife. So I worked for her, sitting for her as a model for her drawings and paintings. And she encouraged me to go help out in the kitchen now and again when she was doing entertaining for friends. So I started helping in the kitchen, and that was where I first discovered the beauty of vegetables and cooking and the joy of it. And so not long after, they were just very patient with me while I learned how to cook. And ultimately I took over and I became their private chef for a number of years.
Yes. Yeah. What a great story. That's inspirational. And, you know, people who think, oh, I could never do that.
Yes. Well, I'm just very grateful and lucky and grateful to Christiana for allowing me to play around in her kitchen for a few years.
And so now you've forged how long have you been in London?
Just coming up to 30 years now.
And during that time, you've written these 9 books. Mm-hmm. And you've also started a touring company.
Well, that's right. Actually, I founded the company in 2002. It was the first food tour company in London. And there are hundreds of them now, but mm-hmm. I've kept my business very boutique. And so if you ever come to London, come and look me up. My business is called Celia Brooks Gastro Tours. And I run several luxury food tours. In particular, my most famous and popular one is at this amazing food market called Borough Market, which is one of the oldest markets in Britain. And yes, I'm sort of exclusively licensed to run tours there. So that's a lot of fun, really immersive experience, tasting and food and wine. Yeah.
Well, I'm certainly glad that you are here to promote your new book, Super Veg.
So am I.
And be sure and look it up. You make a fabulous Christmas gift. Holidays are coming up. And something, if not just personally for yourself, for others. But I'm so excited that you still have connections here, and I get to see you every 3 or 4 years when you write another cookbook.
I know. It's wonderful
to be
back. It's
been a pleasure, yeah.
Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you very much for coming in. I appreciate it, and good luck with your book.
Thank you.
It'll be a whirlwind success.
Thanks for having me.
We're coming up on a break, but stay tuned. There's more appetizing talk to come. And welcome back to the second course of KRDO Table Talk presented by Ranch Foods Direct. And I mentioned we're going to be learning about some French delights, and oh my goodness, I'm so sorry that all of you can't be here in this tiny room with us, because we have got some sort of special English toffee from the French chef. Blandine, what is this?
So this one is a white chocolate English toffee with cranberries and golden raisins.
Ooh.
And that's my favorite. And Kyle makes that at the French kitchen.
Okay.
I actually should not eat it because I'm allergic to almonds, but I do.
Well, there you go. You can overcome, right? Do you
think
those allergies sometimes might be psychological?
Well, not that one. I have to be careful. It's
so
really good.
This is Blandine Boutel that you're listening to. She's the owner of the French kitchen. It's located at 4771 North Academy Boulevard. If you haven't found it, you certainly need to get your pencil and write this down, the address, and make sure you make a beeline over there. She has vastly enlarged her staff, including a young woman who is from Vietnam, Anne Dolan. And she has started teaching their a lot of their Asian cookery, right, Anne?
Yes, so I've started teaching all the Asian cooking classes there at the French Kitchen.
And I took the Chinese class, and we learned how to really... Was it Chinese or Japanese?
I think you took my Japanese class.
So yeah, but I think I've signed up for all of your classes now. Yeah, have I, Blantine, do you know?
Chrissy keeps track.
You didn't keep track of mine. But I'm trying to get in as many as I can because the Japanese class was excellent.
Thank you.
We made true ramen, not the package kind.
No.
Like the packet, but the real deal. And it was a lot of fun. You did a fabulous job. It was
Thank you. Really great.
What other Asian cuisines are you teaching?
So I'm Vietnamese, and I love cooking Vietnamese food. And I love Thai food. I always go out to eat, so then I learn how to make it at home by myself. We do Chinese, and then we do Japanese.
Right.
And then I have a few more classes that we are opening up this coming 2019, and that's include a bento class, a Vietnamese banh mi class, and a Vietnamese crepe class, or bán xèo.
Really?
And
the noodles as well.
Oh, and the Asian noodle is going to be four different Asian noodles.
Now, are you going to be stepping on Blandine's toes in the crepe department?
No, because our crepe is a lot different than the French crepes.
Do tell.
Yes. So it's made out of rice flour and mung beans.
Okay.
And then we have a savory filling to it. So we have pork belly, shrimp, bean sprout, onion, and then you just make this beautiful
crepe. Okay,
now crepe.
When are you teaching that class?
I believe in maybe January or February is the first class.
Yeah. We just opened yesterday our whole 2019 calendar up to August next year. So there's a few of that class, of all the classes.
Well, as soon as I get home, I think I'm going to check in on that crepe class. I definitely want to take that.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, does it require the crepe?
No, it just requires a nonstick saute pan.
Yay. Excellent. That's really good. Well, Blandine, you mentioned you've expanded. My word, you brought in also gelato. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
So it's not an ice cream. And so what I really love about this place is that all of our employees, sometimes they start to cook different things. And so the ice cream was Brian said he had a passion for ice cream. So one day I bought him a machine and I said, okay,
just like that, boom, she goes and buys a gelato machine.
And so now he's starting a class actually in October to teach ice cream because so many people wanted that.
Okay. Well, so I know that the machine you have is like the one we used in France at, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an ice cream machine. It's not gelato. It's a different process.
At the Paul Bocuse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was ice cream.
Yeah, but that was ice cream, and this is gelato.
No, that's ice cream as
well. It is ice cream. Okay.
It's very creamy, but it's still ice cream.
Well, girl, you fool me. I've been telling everybody, oh, gelato. So anyway, if you do the class, can I use my little KitchenAid that I have?
Yes, so Brian's going to show with our machine, but also with home machines, even with a KitchenAid attachment.
Mm-hmm.
So this way everyone can try to find that attachment.
So we can take the class and not have to go out and buy a whole bunch of new equipment. So there's tons of things going on. First of all, I wanted to mention that the French Kitchen is not just a cooking school. You call it the 4-in-1 Culinary Center.
That's correct.
Because in addition to the cooking school, you have a boutique, a cafe, and a bakery.
Yes.
And you have, how many French chefs are working for you now?
So French, only one, Sébastien, who's our baker.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have a team of about 11. So Christy teaches a lot of classes, including the kids, a lot of private events. Anne does all the Asian. Brian is on the ice cream. Kyle does toffee and is going to start teaching teens how to do toffee.
Oh, nice.
And he's going to
teach. Just in time for Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. And then he also teaches cookies. And for now, that's it.
Okay. And then you've got a wine expert.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. And we have Crystal.
Yeah.
Who's our sommelier. And she's also training cheese. So she does all of our pairings. And she has two coming up. It's holiday wine pairing. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know what to do for your meals, you can come take the... it's not a class. It's just informative.
Yeah.
You'll have food, wine, and then you can learn.
So now, are you serving wine in the cafe?
So not in the cafe. In the cafe, we do beers and cider, a French cider.
Mm-hmm.
So now when we have our crepe event, it's very nice because you can match it with the drink we usually have.
Right.
We do serve wine in all the classes now, but it's in the classes, not in the cafe yet.
Right. Okay. Well, that sounds... honestly, walking into that little cafe is like walking into a little shop on any street in Paris. It's just... the food is fabulous. It's filled. You have a new... what you call would be a grab and go.
Yes.
All the eclairs. Oh, my goodness. They're beautiful.
Yeah, we started that recently. So it's an open air merchandiser where we have little boxes with different cakes and we give them names like the chocolate box, the fruity box. And so if you don't know what to choose, we give you the most popular items in those boxes and you can quickly grab it, take it to a party or.
And then in addition, you've got a big freezer section where you can buy that butter I was talking about.
Yeah, it's too small now.
And then you've got soups in there that you can take the soup class, but if you don't want to necessarily make them yourself, you can go buy quarts of them. It's perfect. And bread.
Breads, pastries, ice creams in there. And we have a lot of quiche or puff pastry dough that we make. So we want to make your life easier at home. So if you don't want to roll your quiche
dough. I think you want to make us fatter.
Well, no, I'm working on that myself.
So it's very, very tempting with all the
everything
candies.
Everything in moderation.
Well, that's true. Everything in moderation. Speaking of not moderation, let's talk about Beaujolais Nouveau, which is coming up very soon. As a matter of fact, last year I kind of did a Beaujolais week. I came to your cooking class, which was a lot of fun. You want to tell us about what you do for that?
Christy's going to teach that one.
Okay.
Everyone gets a bottle of the Beaujolais to...
Okay. My husband and I came, so of course we have two bottles.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That makes
so you
for
drink
a very
some
fun
in the
evening.
Class and you get the rest home. And then we pair that. I don't know the menu at this point because Christy is developing it and she wanted to change from last year.
Yeah.
But she uses the Beaujolais in the class to make the meal.
Right. Well, it's a lot of fun. They start at 5:30 p.m. So you come, you roll up your sleeves, and you get busy cooking. And if you want to open your bottle of Beaujolais, certainly you can. You have two classes. One's November 14th and one on the 17th evenings. And about how many people can come to that?
This one is limited at 12 people.
12 people. And do you know the price? 70-something?
No, that one is
120.
I think.
Because it's for... Per couple,
isn't
it?
No, it's per person.
Okay.
But when we have the whole meal, so it does include cheese, bread, the wine, and the whole meal. So those are a bit more.
Right. And it, let me tell you, it's a lot of fun. If you meet some fun people, usually it's couples that come, and it's fun to cook together.
There's going
to
be a nice one like that for Valentine. It's already open.
This
one is for couples only.
Yeah.
And Christy teaches it with her husband. And they're pretty fun together.
Yeah, that sounds very neat. And then you do the pop-up crepes. I'm trying to understand that. Occasionally you do on Saturdays. Yeah. You call ahead.
You don't even need to call ahead. So we do either savory or sweet crepes in the cafe. It's about for 2 hours. So you just come in, enjoy your crepe or take it to go. And I do them in the French tradition. There's a few before December, and I still need to open a few for next year, but there's already one that's going to be a very neat one, February 2nd, because it's National French Crepe Day, Chandeleur.
Okay.
And so we'll do sweet and savory that day, which usually I don't. And Anne here usually helped me fill the crepe, and you're going to be busy that day, so put it on your schedule.
By the way, Anne, you got
the way. She didn't know yet.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Tell us a little bit about your savory crepes, because I think those are a little bit more unusual for us, if you haven't been in France.
Exactly. So they're made in the tradition. That's how crepes started. It's buckwheat flour, and it's dairy-free, gluten-free, by tradition. And then it's crispy on the outside, soft in the center, very thin. And then I add different fillings. So usually I do Gruyere, cheese, ham, and egg. Sunny side up is the real way, but I can scramble as well. We do one with brie, walnuts, and lettuce. We do goat cheese, roasted tomatoes, lettuce. Yeah, it's
wonderful. Well, we're coming up on a break, but we have just a little bit of time to tell us what to die for.
That's really what you like.
Yes.
So it's a croissant that we make.
It's not just a croissant either, folks. It's at least a foot long, I believe. It's big.
It's one of our largest croissants.
Yes.
And then we do a bechamel. We put a ham that's imported from Italy. And then Gruyere that's from Switzerland.
Okay, so we've got fat. Fat, fat, and more fat, right?
And some sugar on the croissant.
And then sprinkle it with sugar. Why not? Let me tell you what, it's really, really good. And you have it in your deli case, and it's ready to eat at the restaurant.
Yeah, we can heat it for you, or you can take it home.
My favorite thing is to get one of your small salads, the French onion soup, and the TDF.
All right, that's a nice mix.
Yeah.
No dessert, right?
Yeah. And what's the price on the To Die For?
I believe it's $7.99.
$7.99. So, yeah, it's really reasonable because, honestly, for me, I get two meals out of it. It's big and rich.
It's one of our most popular ones, I think.
Yeah. Well, remember that the French Kitchen is located at 4771 North Academy Boulevard, and it's growing. Actually, the other thing that Blandine does at the Culinary Center, all of the appliances are by now
Miele.
And if you buy those appliances, you have a deal with the appliance distributor.
Exactly. So Miele is our biggest sponsor there. So if you have, or if you're planning on buying those, you can come and we train you. We have a class every month for that. And you can ask us all the questions you want, try our appliances.
She's got all the state-of-the-art things. Plus, you've got excellent espresso coffee.
Illy.
Yeah. So you can call her at 528-6295, or you can just go on her website, which is tfkcc.com, and you'll see all the classes and all the good stuff, and be sure and drop by and say hello. Thank you, ladies, so much for coming in.
Thank you.
It was really great, and thank you for bringing our little goody treats.
No problem.
Okay, we have to take a break, but we'll be back with more tasty news. Welcome back to the third course of KRDO Table Talk, presented by Ranch Foods Direct. And I mentioned about a wine experience, and now that's what we're going to hear about. We have Miguel Garza here with us, and he is a sommelier and the owner of, I hope I say it correct, Vinum Popoli.
It's
wine bar and restaurant.
Correct. So, loosely translated, it's Latin for wine for the people. The proper Latin is actually Vinum Pour Publis, which didn't sound that great, so I switched it up a little bit. But it's just kind of a play with the tasty machines. So I imported these machines from Italy. I have 32 different wines you can sample by the ounce, half glass or glass right now.
Okay, now you may think, oh, well, I've been to a wine bar. We've done something similar to that. But this is very different because they are like two monolith machines in the front of your store.
They're like two round circles,
right.
Yes.
And each one holds
16 bottles?
16, eight whites and eight reds.
Right now I have eight whites and the rest are reds, so they're all temperature controlled. But there's 16 bottles on each machine. So with the two machines, it's 32 different wines that you can sample.
And then how do you select the wines? They're in a broad price range.
Correct. So the bottles right now, I mean, I just do samplings. My sommelier certification is from Rome. So the Associazione Italiana Sommelier. And I specialize mostly in Italian and Spanish, but I have stuff from all over the world. So right now, I believe I have 17 different countries, 42 different varietals on the machines. You can sample by the ounce, the half glass, or the glass.
Okay. So now then, let's say, what was maybe one of your medium-priced?
The bottles really vary. So it goes from about $8 to about $1,500.
Okay. Per bottle.
Yeah, per bottle.
Let's say that you've got a $40 bottle of wine that we could buy at the restaurant if we want to enjoy it. Let's say now then, I want to go and whenever you come in, you show your ID. And this is, by the way, a 21 and up.
Yes, place. It is 21 and over because it's self-service for alcohol.
Right.
So no kids in here. So it's probably a great date night
it's
if you want to get away.
It's a fabulous adult experience.
I love kids. I'm not saying anything bad about kids, yeah. But it's nice to have a place just to get away and have a little break.
So whenever you come in, you show your ID. Or actually, you leave the ID with your waitress.
It's just like opening a tab at any bar. You know, we take your ID and your driver's license and just hold it behind the bar.
Right.
Then we give you a card to the wine machines.
Right.
And then you can move around sampling all of the 32 wines if you want to.
So you start a tab, and I believe it's $400.
Each card has a $400 limit that we give you.
Limit, right. So don't panic. Don't think, oh, my gosh, I can't go in there.
No.
So what they do, that is, so let's say that we're back to that $40 bottle of wine that I'm going to go and get 1 ounce.
Okay.
So how much is that? I set it. It's all digital. And I set for 1 ounce, and it gives me the price that I'm going to pay.
Yes, it gives you the price. So for an ounce, I got to do quick math in my head. I think it's going to be about 98 cents for an ounce.
Yeah.
You just put your card in, put your glass underneath the spout. You press the button. You hold it for about 2 seconds. It'll dispense that wine. And then you pull your card out, and next time you're ready to try something else,
you go to the next little.
You go to the next
one. Bottle.
Yep.
So it's really very cool and a lot of fun, actually, because then you can go around and do that sampling. It really is not going to break the bank. You might, you know, $20 if you did all of them, depending on the price of the basic bottle of wine.
Exactly.
And then you could either decide what you want and buy a glass or a bottle, too.
Correct. And the whole point of it is really so I did I had a few fine dining restaurants in Los Angeles before I moved here. And this is a concept that I did in Los Angeles as well, probably about 10 years ago, that got Best Wine Bar in L.A. and a lot of accolades. And when I moved out here to be closer to family and everything, like after a couple months, I wanted to go wine tasting and I just couldn't find any place to just be able to taste wines and have a variety of different foods and cheeses and meat plates and different things. So I decided I would reopen this concept. I mean, the great thing, like the whole point really is just after the name. So Vinum Populi, the reason I named it in Latin was because in the same way the Latin language was able to unify the Roman Empire from upper class, middle class, lower class, and provide a common language that everyone could communicate across different countries and different nations, different classes, these machines really give you a chance, like being able to sample by the ounce from an $8 bottle to a $10 bottle to a $20 to a $50 to a $100 to a $1,000 bottle, you can understand your own palate because nobody has a right to tell you what you should and should not like.
Right. But honestly, Miguel, the fun part is to go in there and try some outrageously expensive wine that you would never, ever have an opportunity to do unless you were in the business, possibly.
Absolutely.
My common person like myself, I mean, I would never have an opportunity to sample the really, really pricey. And you only have a few of those.
Yes, I only have a few. So, like, you tried a couple when you were there.
Right.
I always try to keep something at least 30 years old. So right now I have, like, a 1970 Fustino Tempranillo out of Rioja. So that's 48 years old. So you can sample that. The most expensive one I have right now is a Sassicaia, which is they kind of created the Super Tuscan trend. So you're able to come and try that. I think it's $26.30 an ounce. It's $183 if you want a glass. But you can sample something that you would never probably buy in
the
store.
It's a fun thing to do. And as you say, that date night, a special occasion.
Well, on the other end, it's not meant to be like the special occasion place. The way I classify the food and everything is, it's European peasant food. I mean, there's a lot of chains in Colorado Springs. And I just kind of wanted someplace that's not like chicken fingers and onion rings.
Oh, your menu's burgers. Far from that. Oh, honest. We had several things. You do pizzettas?
Pizzetta. Well, so it's just pizza, plural.
Yeah.
So pizza is singular. Uh-huh. Pizzetta is plural. So if you put it on the
menu. They're little and very flavorful, unique toppings, and you know, just a couple of bites.
Yep.
And then I had we did lamb. Your lamb chops that were there were three on the plate, and they were excellent, beautifully cooked.
Well, wonderful. Thank you.
And. Let's see, we did a couple of other things. It escapes me right now.
You did the millionaire's pasta, I believe.
Yes,
so
yes.
Handmade pappardelle with lobster and some black truffle paste and a plugra butter.
Yeah.
So just it's all very simple.
And
it's just,
the prices are extremely reasonable.
I try my hardest to do that. I just want to make it a place that it feels like it's your local bar that you could come to, but you don't have to. You can actually have like quality food.
Okay. And now some people may be thinking, "Oh, this is a real frou-frou kind of place." But on the weekends, you really get into the football idea, right?
Yep.
With brunch, and you have some
absolutely. This
you
weekend,
have a full bar, by the way.
Yes, we have full bar. We have a wide selection of beer, so it's not just wine. We have our cocktails and everything. This weekend we're going to start doing, Saturday and Sunday football for a brunch. So I have a brunch menu, but, it's just,
don't you have some sort of special mimosa or Bloody Mary?
I have mimosa? Something I call the Manmosa.
Mimosa.
so it's a 16 ounce mimosa. We do it with fresh hand-squeezed orange juice, and it's bottomless from 11 to 3.
Wow.
You can come in and get a little crazy. I mean...
Do you have Uber and...
I have an
Z-trip?
Uber number, actually, that we will call you an Uber if at any point you feel unsafe, because we want to take care of everybody. It's just a kind of a fun environment and different, like, that... You don't have to go have Coors Light and Bud Light, but you can actually come in and watch football and have some different food and some quality wine. And
what is the price of that mimosa? 16 ounce mimosa.
For the bottomless is normally $25, like I said, it's bottomless, so you can go for hours.
And you've got big comfy couches, so if you need a little nap, you could fit that in.
I have had people fall asleep on the couch already, so
it does happen. Well, now that you have heard all the good stuff about going to Venom Populi.
Populi.
It is Pope right there, Populi.
Yep.
Wine bar and restaurant. They're located at 6165 Barnes Road, and that's right out by security. I mean, on your patio, you can look at the field.
Fireworks and everything. Yeah, you can catch those on Fridays. And
they're
Friday
getting
nights.
Ready to open another sports venue there, so that'll be great for you.
Yep.
Okay, remember, it's a 21 and older. They are open from 4 to 10 p.m. daily. And you can call them at 418-3114. Go to facebook.com/pg/venompopuli.
Correct.
Did I finally get it right?
You got it right.
And you can find out everything you want to know about this really wonderful, I'm going to say she sort of comfy combine.
I would not say she
mashup. Don't say she. Okay, it's not she. It's just really nice. It's very, very sophisticated. Oh, I'm not going to say that either. But it's super duper. They are at 6165 Barnes Road. Miguel, such a pleasure to have you in today. I really
thank you so much for having me.
Well, we are going to take a short break. We are going to be back with much more to talk about. Welcome back to KRDO News Radio. And now for our very last course, and I always say that we've saved something special for dessert, and I think that could be appropriate for us, don't you think, Blaise?
Hopefully so, yeah.
Okay. I have Blaise Keck.
Keek.
Okay. Okay, I think I've got one for three or something like that.
It happens. I'm used to it. Yeah, I'm used to that with my last name.
Well, then you spell it K-U-E-C-K, so Kuek, but it's Keek.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, I love the name Blaise, and you spell it B-L-E-Y-S. Any of you that are expecting a boy or maybe a fun twist on a girl's name, too, for that matter.
I guess, yeah. You got to be up on your sci-fi reading from the 70s, I guess. That's where my dad got it.
Okay. Well, it's very cool. He and his wife, Lynn, own the Cheese People. Now, do you call it the Colorado Springs?
The Cheese People of Colorado Springs,
Colorado Springs. I just got to meet your wife briefly when you were at the Pikes Peak Market downtown.
Yep.
That's been about a year ago, and you were just kind of getting started. But give us a little background on what kind of cheeses you produce.
Sure. So we work with our friends in Illinois. I call them the Big Cheese People. We're kind of a franchise of theirs in a way. We're a locally owned business, but we benefit from their expertise. They've cultivated over decades, really, a number of fine artisanal cheeses from family farms and co-ops throughout Wisconsin. Try to make everything unique to us in some way. They'll take it and age it extra. They'll smoke it in applewood usually, soak it in something, just try to do something to make every cheese unlike anything you can get anywhere else other than through the Cheese People.
Something very unique.
Yeah.
And so now you grew up in Colorado.
Yep. Yep. My wife and I both grew up here.
So what's with the Wisconsin connection?
my wife went to school in Illinois. And when I graduated from CU Boulder, we decided it was time to get out of Colorado for a while. Moved to Chicago. We actually moved to Chicago on a Friday. The following Saturday, I started selling cheese, working for our friends out there, and never stopped. Our friend John is the Big Cheese, and he grew up in Wisconsin. So he's got a friend that he has known since kindergarten, where they actually make some of the cheeses together. So it's kind of cool. He and one of his childhood friends actually are involved in making a few of our cheeses.
Well, that's very nice. But now, right now, you are available at farmers markets?
Yes. Yep. So we do, right now we're at 3 farmers markets, although I guess by the time this airs, it'll be 2 because the Woodland Park markets Friday is this week. They do have a winter market, though. And then we're on Saturdays at the old Colorado City farmers market and the Monument farmers market also.
And they go on through to October-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yep. A couple weeks into October for Monument and to the end of October for old Colorado City.
Great. And so do you love cheese?
Oh.
Is that what got you started working?
Yeah. Well, actually, it was just a weird thing where it was my wife's college roommate. They're the ones who own the business in Illinois.
Okay.
But I've certainly learned to get an appreciation for it. So I often tell people I didn't like blue cheese growing up. But when I started working for a business where we're selling blue cheese, I tried our Mindoro blue cheese, which is made in Mindoro, Wisconsin. And decided, oh, this is the blue cheese that got me to start liking blue cheese. And since then, it's been any number of exciting blue cheeses and other sorts of things.
Well, the first time I met your wife was at the Pikes Peak market downtown. Do you anticipate coming back to that maybe in the winter?
I think at some point, yeah. I think we're going to look and see kind of where we're at. The summers are so crazy for us with farmers markets that really takes up the bulk of our time. So we're hoping to get back in there if we can make that work out once winter comes along.
So most of the – you typically you think in the spring for fresh cheese that you want to get that milk whenever the grass is green and for all that great flavor.
Sure.
So but many of the Wisconsin cheeses are aged.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of our cheeses are aged more than you can find pretty much any other cheese of that type. So we've got a Havarti, for instance. Most Havartis you'll find in the grocery store, just a couple months old probably. We age ours at least a year and a half to really let the flavor and the creaminess come out. We've got some aged Italian type cheeses, Parmesans and Asiagos. We age for 3 years.
Yeah, but they're made in Wisconsin.
They're made in Wisconsin and then aged there, actually. Our friends in Illinois are looking at kind of crafting their own cheese caves, if you will, in Quincy, Illinois, where they can age cheese on their own a little bit more, too.
All right. Well, it sounds wonderful. What about as we're coming up on the holidays? I don't know why I've gotten on this gig about talking about the holidays,
sure.
But it's time. It's getting around the corner. Do you do gift sets?
Or? We do, yeah. Yeah, so we do, we've got gift certificates, but we also do these really nice wooden gift boxes, mm-hmm. Two different sizes. The smaller one is called the Mouse. The larger one is called the Moon, all cheese-themed, as you can tell. And you get a selection of three or four cheeses in the smaller one and seven or eight cheeses in the larger one. They're really nice wooden gift boxes that are actually made made in Wisconsin also, really to keep with the Wisconsin theme.
So how does the cheese get shipped to you?
on a couple thousand pounds on a pallet that we then store here in Colorado Springs to bring out to the farmers market. So every month or so I spend a good amount of time in a 30-degree, well, I guess it's probably, 34-degree cooler unloading cheese, just getting everything set up and organized.
So do you have a little warehouse someplace?
Yeah, we rent cold storage space just for storage area, and then bring it out to farmers markets, and we can actually cut and wrap cheese on site, which is kind of cool. So we'll have a 5-pound log of cheddar that we can cut off whatever size anybody likes, or a 20-pound wheel, a Swiss, or something like that.
So now, where this cheese is coming from, an individual, how does it compare with Kraft extra sharp cheddar?
Let's see. Well, we have an 8-year aged cheddar, so
I thought you might just turn around and walk out of here.
Wouldn't even really be close. So our cheeses are done by family farms and co-ops in Wisconsin. So you have some cheesemakers that they own the land, the cows, the cheese-making equipment. They do everything on their own land there, so they farmstead the cheeses. You have other ones that are just – they specialize in really a couple different kinds of cheese. So even if you would find what they call extra-sharp cheddar at the grocery store, it's not even close. It's a totally different experience eating our stuff.
Do me a little comparison. What would the mouth feel be?
Oh, wow. I mean, with the really sharp stuff, I mean, it's one of those where I don't want to say it hurts, because that doesn't really have the same appeal that I want to have, but you can almost feel the tingle in your mouth when you get that really nice sharp cheddar.
The tang from the aging?
Yes, and then the aged cheddar we have also is really surprisingly creamy for how strong it is. A lot of times some aged cheeses, they get too dry, they fall apart.
There's a little grit.
There is, yep. You get some salt crystallization in there as the cheese ages that kind of piles up and gives you a little bit of crunch or grit in there too.
So on your website, do you include recipes and ways to use cheese other than just enjoying it?
So our website situation is a little bit interesting. On thecheesepeople.com, there's information about all the cheeses on there, but that's kind of Illinois, Wisconsin focused. That's run by the big cheese. Again, I'll bring them up again. And they have info on the cheeses. If you dig enough, you can find a little bit of information about Colorado. But then we also, through our Facebook page, we have the Cheese People of Colorado Springs on Facebook, where we can update people with where we're going to be for farmers markets and how to find us in the winter, especially too.
Well, Blaise, I think it's really fun what you're doing. It's exciting, and I'm hoping that you'll get back into the downtown market.
Thanks. Yeah, it's been
fun. You have more accessibility year round,
right?
But if you're interested, I suspect people could call you at 822-1435 to get more information.
They could, and then they can also email me. It's Blaise, BLEYS at thecheesepeople.com. Or they can also, they can message us on our Facebook page, follow us on Instagram too. My wife is getting more into the social media side of things. So.
Okay, well, you have to have somebody do that.
Right, absolutely. Sure. That's not my forte.
Well, before we come up to the end of the show, I'd like to invite my guests to come and just give one more little plug about their things that they're doing. Celia, would you like to mention your cookbook?
Hi, well, yes, I'm kind of on the road promoting my cookbook Super Veg, and I just have a really strong message that these are 25 common vegetables that have the power to enhance your life and help you live longer. Just eat your vegetables, folks, and especially the Super Veg.
And what's your website?
Website is celiabrooks.com.
Great. Well, thank you again, Celia. It's great. Good luck with your book. And Miguel.
Yes.
What's your business?
And just come down and check us out. The main thing is our wine sampling. So we have 32 different wines. You can sample by the ounce, half glass or glass. Variety. Everything's handmade, basically farm to table. So no
pretentiousness, no anything. Just come and enjoy some good food, have some good wine, discover what your palate likes, and that's pretty much it.
We can hardly wait, and then we'll get some of that cheese to go with it, right?
Yep.
And Blandine had to go pick up her children, but where can we find you?
You can find us at 4771 North Academy Boulevard, or come on our website at tfkcc.com. So come on by, grab some pastry, and take a few classes.
And have an espresso.
And have an espresso.
And Blaze, one more time, the Cheese People of Colorado Springs.
Sure, Blaze Keek, the Cheese People of Colorado Springs. You can find us at local farmers markets. Through the end of this farmers market season, we'll still be at Monument and at Old Colorado City. And then you can find us through email or our Facebook page after that to pick up some cheese during the winter if you need a gift box or something like that.
Okay, everybody. I hope everyone enjoyed the show. Thank you all for listening to KRDO Table Talk on 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM. It's been presented by Ranch Foods Direct. If you missed some part of it, you can go to krdo.com and you'll see podcasts. I hope you enjoyed the show today. I certainly did. Great bunch of people and hardworking entrepreneurs. Next Saturday, you're going to hear about some spooky tours you can go on, vegan options, empanadas, and tamales. So happy eating, everybody. See you next week.
You've been listening to the KRDO Table Talk Show with Teresa Farney, presented by Ranch Foods Direct. Join Teresa and her guests for the Table Talk Party Saturday afternoons at 1. Listen live at KRDO.com and on demand at KRDONewsRadio.podbean.com.